said, I have looked forward to this day for several weeks now, and just so excited that Brother Nate Starr could be here with us tonight. So excited. And just amazing how it worked out. It really is. We hadn't talked, goodness, in years, years and years. And he called, and God had begun to put on his heart by the pastoring, and he was in touch with the church here in Central Illinois. And but that didn't work out. They didn't work out. I don't know if you ever even went there. Were you there? You never went there. So, and then, but when he called and asked me to just keep my ears open and pray with him about it, you know, the Lord just said, that man, you need to have Nate Starr at Faith Baptist Church. So I asked him right there on the phone. I said, would you come out and be our guest? And he said, yes, he'd love to. And I'm so happy he's here tonight. So happy. It's almost strange, the similarities, the situation that Nate is going into down at Rocky Mount, North Carolina, the size of the church, the situation, everything is just so similar to when I came here. It's we sat today at lunch and just were amazed at the similarities. And if Faith Baptist Church means anything to you, me, all of us, we owe a great debt to this man's dad. And one thing I wanted to have him here, I wanted him to see that the 10 years his dad was the pastor here were not spent in vain. I wanted him to see that. And I think it's been an encouragement to him. And it ought to be an encouragement to those of you who knew him as a 12 or 13-year-old boy, maybe younger, who grew up here from the time he was two or three, to see what God is doing in his life and a wonderful wife and two just precious little girls. And maybe he'll tell you a little bit about where he's going and what God's, the door opened, God has opened for him. But I want to say, Brother Starr, how thrilled I am you're here tonight. I can't express it to you. And I'm glad that he's able to come and be here. This is a great night for us. It's good for our church. I think it's good for him. It's good all the way around, isn't it? And so we're glad that he's here tonight. Who's good? Ryan, you're singing for us. Come on and sing, Brother Ryan. And then when he's done, you give your undivided attention to Brother Starr tonight. That will be a blessing. All right?
Pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
We have your Bibles over Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And let me just say this, that we have really been looking forward to this. And we really have. And for weeks now, I've been talking to my wife and just excited about it, thinking about it. And I remember spending several evenings laying there in bed just thinking about the opportunity to see some people that I haven't seen in a long time. It has been a long time, but I'll tell you, it is a joy to be here. And I don't think I could express it in words. And just to see people, I remember walking out after Brother Angel had introduced me here this morning and seeing Brother Britt. And it has been a while. And I remember walking through there, and I remember I thought I was driving the RC truck, but it wasn't me. And I just remember those memories, and it's good to see you and to see Brother Lewis back there. You know, I think about him a lot. I really do. And I know I was going through college, and I used to think about all the great preachers out there, and thinking, you know, about all the great things they have done, big names. And as I started thinking about that, I thought about the individuals you'll never really hear about. And they're going to be the ones that God's going to really bless. We're going to be surprised. We really are. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised, the individuals that were faithful. And I think about many of you oftentimes, and it's just a joy to be here. I want to introduce my family for those who have not, maybe weren't here this morning, but if my wife would rise and my two girls. We have my wife, Amy, and then my oldest daughter here is Julia, and my youngest is Michaela. And I think she's the scary one. She's going to act more like me than she should, right? But it's sure good you can sit down. It is a blessing to be here. And yesterday we drove in, and I think my wife's getting tired of it. I can remember saying, well, I remember that. But I don't remember a lot of things anymore. And it's kind of scary. It really is. I walked in today and someone said, do you remember me? And I hate to say, I don't remember who everybody. But it is a joy. Just some of the people, and it's funny, some of the people that as I see their face, I'm recalled some of the great memories that we've had and things that will last a lifetime for me and will be a part of my ministry. I want to thank Brother Angel, Pastor Angel, for inviting me to come. We really, really appreciate everything. We appreciate the hotel. And when I got the opportunity to preach when I was in Texas, one of the things I got to do is, anybody that's been to Texas knows that everything's bigger and better in Texas. And they used to bring a certificate with me, honorary Texan, or a state flag, or a nice tie. But I'm from Maryland now. What do you have in Maryland? All right, I'm not sure. And so I started thinking about it. What could I bring Brother Angel from Maryland? So I thought about it, and I was in D.C. last week with some friends, and we were just walking around, and I came up with something, and I thought it would be a great gift for you. I'd like to give it to you tonight, if you don't mind. And I have it here. In fact, earlier on, he was asking what was in this bag. But I'd like to, if you don't mind, if you come on up here, I'd like to give this to you. It's something that you can remember us by from Maryland. And I hope that'll... Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. I think it worked well. So, right. Anyway, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'll tell you, he has been a blessing to me, and I, through the years, I have. It's still well. You can wear it. Wear proud. I have an extra one too, if you'd like one. I have one more here. I was gonna give it to Brother Woodward. I didn't see him yesterday. But he has been a blessing through the years, and it's always, you know, through occasion I've got to hear Brother Woodward talk about Brother Angel, and it's just been a joy to see people that are faithful. And one of the things that is always stuck in my mind is how personable he is. He's truly genuine. I remember when I was in college, I had the opportunity to sit next to some big-name preachers. And I was excited about it. I sit down there. In fact, I even had a little index card. I was going to ask them several questions, and I was shocked. Not one of them wanted to give me the time of day. And they wanted to talk to everybody else, but I am truly thankful. Brother Angel, he's just been a great, just been great to us, and I'm really thankful for it, and always will be a blessing. And who knows, you might get a phone call. What do I do now? And that probably will come. But again, it's good to be here. And I appreciate the opportunity to preach in the teen church this morning and the teenagers tonight. Brother Monkowski, am I saying that right? Man, I'll tell you, what can we have a Smith or something like that? But it is a joy, and I appreciate that. I'm not sure where he's at. But oh, he is right there. I appreciate the opportunity to preach for you. And I want you to pray for him. I don't know if he has been telling everybody about this, but a few weeks ago, he went and got a stress test. Did you guys hear about that? He went and got a stress test, and you need to pray for him. In fact, I was talking to his wife a little bit, and his wife was telling me that they went to the doctors and went in there, and the doctor sat down and said, you know what, you got a problem with stress. Major issue with stress, and you know, you got to change some things. And so he told Brother Monkowski, I hope I'm saying that right, why don't you go out there and wait? I need to talk to your wife. And so he sat there and he said, you know, here's what you got to do. When he comes home from work, you got to take his shoes off for him. You got to make sure that when he wakes up in the morning, he gets breakfast. And when he comes home, you take care of him. Don't make him do anything whatsoever. You make sure you take care of him. I don't want him to put any more effort than he needs to do. And you take care of the guy. So he walked out, and Brother Jason there, he said, what did the doctor say? What did the doctor say? And she said, basically, you're going to die. And so make sure. I do appreciate the opportunity, and it was a joy. I always like to preach to teenagers, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I remember the first time I got to preach. I think the first time I ever got to preach is we had competition, and I'll talk about nervous. I was nervous. And I remember sitting there and getting ready to preach and got my message ready. And I had a good illustration, too. I was going to start it off good. I was going to start it off powerful. And so I got up there and I started with my illustration. And that illustration lasted about 6 minutes. And I started preaching. That lasted about 3. And I didn't know what else to say. And so I closed the service down. And I still remember I prayed and I was disgusted. I was upset with myself. You know, I had prepared all this time, and I couldn't preach more than 10 minutes. I remember walking down the aisle and somebody catching me and saying, if you ever become a pastor, I'll join your church. And so hopefully we won't be that long this morning. I'm reminded of a guy one time that he was preaching, and a guy walked out and walked right out during the middle of the service. And he kept preaching, and sure enough, before too long, he walked back in, and he sat down there in the pew, and the preacher was thinking, what in the world was that guy doing? So he walked back there, and at the end, as preachers do, is shaking hands, he said, hey, I noticed you walked out of the service. The guy looked at the preacher, and he said, you know what, I had to go get a haircut. He said, get a haircut? You could have got a haircut any time while I wasn't preaching. He said, basically, I didn't need a haircut before you started. So, anyways, it is good to be here this morning, this evening. Luke chapter 15. As we preach here, I'm going to relay some stories here and there and as the Lord leads. But again, let me just say this. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. It is. I'm standing here right now and I'm thinking to myself, I'm almost a little jittery. I've been like this in a while. And it's just a joy to be here, to see faces and to see people that are still faithful. It is a blessing to me. It really is, and you'll never know. Luke chapter 15, verse number 11, the Bible says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went, and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Look over there, verse number 17, the Bible says, And when he came to himself. What an interesting phrase. When he came to himself. Not too long ago, I was reading an article. I think I was reading an article, or maybe I saw it on the Discovery Channel or something like that. They were talking about some mountain climbers. The mountain climbers were there, and they had climbed up on a beautiful day, got to the top of the mountain, but as they were getting ready to head down, the weather came in. And so they started heading down, realizing if they were to stay on the mountain, they would freeze to death. And little did they know that as they were descending from that mountain, they started heading off course. Now, I don't know a whole lot about mountain climbing. I don't want to know a lot about mountain climbing. Someone that wants to hang off a cliff, that's too much for me. But what I began to understand is that there are actually avenues and paths that these mountain climbers will take down when they go. And if they veer off that course, they could be in major trouble. So they were talking about these two mountain climbers, and they sure enough, they were veering off the wrong way, and they were heading down that mountain, and all of a sudden, they came to a cliff. And it was dark, and it was snowing, and it was cold outside, and one of the mountain climbers said, What I'm going to do here is I'm going to take that rope, I'm going to drop it over the edge, and I'm going to go down, 100 feet was the end of his rope, and if there's nothing there, I'll come back up. Of course, we knew the rest of the story. I knew that there was nothing there. The article said there was nothing down there but more than 2,000-foot drop before he would ever touch anything, but he did not know that. So they're reading I'm reading the article there, and he begins to descend down 1 foot at a time. And of course, I'm reading the article, and I'm screaming at him, Go back up! Go back up! And of course, my wife doesn't know what's going on. She's upset. I'm screaming at this piece of paper and getting all worried and upset about this. And he was heading down, seeing how far he could go. And the article says that all of a sudden he came to a point where he realized there was nothing down there. We would call it he came to himself. He came to a point where he said, You know what? I better head back up. I like to travel, and my wife likes to travel with us on occasion, with me. And there's been times, if you're like any good man, there's times that you get lost. You ever been there before? The GPS says, turn around, turn around, turn around, make a U-turn. And I remember one time we were driving, we're not too far from Baltimore, and I was driving in there, and she's saying, You're lost. I said, No, I'm not lost. I know where I'm at. I'll be fine. And so we kept driving, and she said, You're lost. I said, No, I'm fine. Before long, people started looking in your window. I was in the wrong neighborhoods. People looking at you real funny and looking at you, asking you to roll your window down. And I'm just driving through as fast as I could. And my wife's saying, Everything okay? Oh, everything's fine. Shortcut. Taking it many times. I know exactly where I'm at. And after you see that same building 3 or 4 times, she says, You're lost. And I, as a good husband, say, You're right. I have to go get directions. I have to come to myself. Have to realize I'm headed the wrong way, doing the wrong thing. And oftentimes we as Christians, we get in this rut, so to speak. We act good on the outside. We have the good walk. We have the good talk. We carry our Bible with us. Everything looks fine on the outside. But you know what? We're headed the wrong direction. And we have to come to ourselves. We have to realize that we're not going the right way. I love this passage here. It's a great passage. I've used it many times with young people. One of the things I love about the Word of God is for everybody. Young, old, doesn't matter who you are or what state you're in. The Bible's for everybody. And oftentimes we turn to a passage like this and we think to ourselves, Oh yeah, this will be good for the young people today. But you know what? It's good for us too. And there's been times I've come and said, You know what? That hit me. I needed that. That's something I needed to have. And that verse right there sure popped out. It says, And when he came to himself. You may be here tonight and you need to come to yourself as well. You may be headed the wrong direction. And as we look at this passage, I hope the Lord will bless and you'll speak to your heart and you'll make some changes. One of the things that I'm so glad about is that you can make things right. There's been times before and I thought to myself, man, how in the world did I get myself here? I'm so thankful that I can still come to myself and I can still change. Let's go ahead and bow and ask the Lord to bless and we'll go ahead and get into the message. Dear Father, we're thankful for this evening you've given us. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to look at your word. Lord, as we look at it, I pray that you would bless. Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts. And I pray that we could get some things that will make us better Christians for you. Lord, oftentimes we look at your word and we think, well, that person needs it. Maybe so-and-so needs it, but Lord, we need it as well. We need to realize that oftentimes we just need to come to ourselves. We need to get, we've gotten off the path and we just need to make things right. Lord, I pray you'd bless and again, we'll thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says over in verse number 12, it says, "And a younger of them had said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto him his living." It's interesting, as you look at this passage, as you look down at verse number 17, the Bible says he came to himself. Oftentimes, there's things that come in our life that make us realize that, you know what, we're just not going the right direction. We're not doing the right thing. I remember growing up and there's been several times my dad's had to hit me upside the head and say, guess what? You're not going the right way. You got to turn around. You got to change. We see here the Bible says he came to himself. He realized what he had lost. It's sad sometimes that we as Christians, we look out there at what the world has to offer. Maybe we as a Christian have some sin in our life and we think to ourselves, hey, I'll be okay. I'll be fine. When we need to realize that we just need to come to ourselves as Christians, we just need to get right with God. And I have found out that in my short life, I think I'm turning 21 or 22 in a couple months, that you know what? I am so happy, I'm so thankful, there's so much joy from serving God when you're right with Him. And how sad it is that we as Christians, we're not going the right direction and we're miserable. We sit in the pews, we hear the preaching of God's Word, and you know what? We're just miserable in our heart. We just need to get right with Him. Getting right with God. It's interesting as you look at this passage here that he lost his freedoms. You ever knocked on a door before? I love this. I've knocked on the door before and the guy opened the door up and I said, hey, you know, I'm out from Odenton Baptist Church. I'd like to invite you out to church. He said, you know what? I don't want to be a Christian because you got to go to church every Wednesday night, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and I don't want to lose my freedom. And you look at him and he's got an earring in his nose, he's got an earring in his ear, and his pants don't stay up, and you think to yourself, man, I'm more free than you are. I have a lot more joy than you do. And he looks at you and he says, no, I don't want to do the things of God. I don't want to serve God because I'll lose my freedom. Let me tell you something. Sin will make you lose your freedom. Remember one time I was knocking on my door, or on a door, and I was with my dad and knocked on the door, and this big old guy, big old teenager, probably several years older than I was, answered the door. And my dad said, you know what? Hey, I'd love for you to come out to church. And the guy said, no. He said, church is for sissies. And the weirdest thing in the world, I don't know why, if you knew my dad, this is what he would do. He said, well, my son right here looks a little bit smaller than you. Why don't we have a fight out here in the front yard, and if he wins, you go to church. I looked at him. I looked at myself. I thought, why in the world would you say that? That guy's going to beat me to death. I mean, the look on his face. And I was so thankful when he said, no, I don't want to do that. I remember getting in that car and closing the door and I looked at my dad and I said, why in the world would you do something like that? He said, don't worry about it. I knew he wouldn't fight you. Yeah, easier said than done. And I was the one that was going to be out in the front yard, yeah. It's interesting that sin makes you lose your freedom. I had the opportunity to work with young people on occasion and come in there and they have this attitude that, yeah, when I get out of church, when I get older, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to be free. I'm going to enjoy my life and no more church, no more God, no more tell me what to do. Let me tell you something. The world doesn't give you any freedom. Sin doesn't give you any freedom. We see here that he lost his freedom. Not only that, but he lost his finances. He lost everything he had. Let me tell you something as a Christian. It's sad sometimes that we as Christians allow the world to define what blessings are. It's sad sometimes that we allow the world to tell us what being blessed by God is. Sometimes we think, well, you got to have $1 million in the bank. You got to have several cars in the garage. That is a blessing. Let me tell you something. That is not a blessing necessarily. Now, much more than that. I'd rather have a family that loves God. I'd much rather, be serving God. I'd have the joy in my heart. I'd much rather be in my go to bed at night and say, you know what? Hey, if something were to happen to me, I would spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll take that any day over an extra car. It's sad sometimes that we as Christians, we let the world define things for us. The Bible says here he lost his finances. He lost his familiarity. When I had a bus route one time in Gary, and anybody here ever been to Gary, Indiana before? It tends to be rough at times. Remember one time we were in the projects and we were knocking on the door, and all of a sudden I heard some commotion. I heard some noise and I thought, what in the world is going on? And I turned around and the door right next to me, this has been about 25 or 30 people, and they didn't look very nice. They were carrying pipe wrenches, baseball bats, anything else you could think of. And I looked at my partner, I said, you know what? I don't think this is the place we want to be right now. He looked at me and said, well, let's see what happens. I said, no way. 10 feet away from us, they're beating down the door. And I thought to myself, this is not where I want to be. Sad sometimes that we as Christians, you know what, we're more familiar with the things of the world. It's sad sometimes that we allow our children to be more familiar with what's on TV than we are familiar with the things of God's Word. Sad when you look at young people today and they can name this Hollywood star and they can name that Hollywood star and they can name this famous baseball player and famous basketball. Let me tell you something. I like basketball. I like baseball. But the things of God are far more important than those things. Sad sometimes that we lose our familiarity and we come to church and the preacher gets up there and he preaches God's Word and we walk out those doors and we ask ourselves, I didn't get anything from it. It's not the pastor's fault. No, we just got some problems in our life. The Bible says here he lost his familiarity. Man, what a blessing it is to serve God. I don't know about you, but I love coming to church. I do. I really do. I've had people come to me before and say, how long have you been in church? I said, as long as I can remember. I enjoy church. I enjoy coming in there and hearing the singing of God, singing and the preaching of God's Word. And man, that's familiar to me. That's where my joy comes from. Looking at God's Word, reading God's Word, familiarity. And how sad it is that Christians have lost the things of God. No longer are those things familiar with Him. Only that, but he lost his fellowship. I love fellowship. I told Brother Payne, there's Brother Payne up there. I told Brother Payne, I said, man, I'm looking forward to coming over to your house. And let me tell you, he had a lot of food out there. Had a lot of good food. And I told him, I said, well, you might not recognize me. I've changed a little bit since the last time I've been here. I said, I've gotten a little bit taller and a little bit wider. Man, I love fellowship. I love food. I enjoy those things. And one person one time asked me why it is that Baptists always struggle. I said, because we always fellowship. You can't dance, you can't smoke, you can't drink, man, so we eat. That's what we do. Nothing wrong with that. I enjoy fellowship. And how sad it is we see this individual here, we see this young man, he's told his father, hey, give me everything that's mine. I'm going to do what I want to do. And boy, oh boy, does he start to lose. Such is the Christian. Thinks they know better than God. Not only do we see that he realized what he had lost, but we also see that he regretted what he had gained. The Bible says here in verse number 13, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Remember when I was growing up, 651 Concord, Bourbonnais, Illinois. That's where we lived. Remember one day my dad walked in and he said, "Hey, I got a BB gun for you, but you are never allowed to take it out unless I'm there." Okay, that sounds good. I can do that. One day he wasn't home. And I thought to myself, you know what? I could probably go out there and practice a little bit. It wouldn't hurt anything. Nobody ever find a BB on the ground anywhere. And so there I was out there, and all of a sudden I got this impression of being a cowboy. My imagination just got to me. Boy, before long I had that BB gun out there and I was shooting from the waist. From the hip, I guess. Man, back and forth. And I thought, man, I'd be good. Put a cowboy hat on me and you couldn't tell the difference between me and the guy in Gunsmoke. Man, we were good. I was back and forth, and I turned around and I thought to myself, man, this is a BB gun. It's not very powerful. Right there was a sliding glass window in the back door. Anybody ever been over to that house? There was a sliding glass window. So I was shooting around, and I thought, you know what? I wonder what would happen if I'd shoot that. You say, that's foolish. Yeah, well, yeah, that's me, all right? I turned around, and from the waist there, I let one, and I saw that BB coming out of that barrel, and it hit that glass. And my two sisters, Amy and Esther, were sitting there playing a game on those little rocks right there in front of that window. Sure enough, the glass just... Didn't break. Thank the Lord. They've been in trouble. My sisters jumped up. They were screaming. Ran in there. Something's wrong with the window. He said, what did I do? Oh, boy. Out the yard I went, running as fast as I could. I took that BB gun, threw it over the fence into the bushes. And I thought to myself, nobody will ever know. Smart, wasn't it? Smart. Yeah, real smart. Brilliant. Came out there, and my dad said, what happened to the window? I said, well, Dad, I was working on my baseball a little bit. I said, I shouldn't have done it, but, I had a little target right there. I said, I was just throwing a rock, seeing if I could hit it, and it kind of veered off and hit that window. Bad, bad news. Several things that we always got in trouble for growing up, and one of them was lying. You lie, you're in major trouble. And isn't it interesting as parents... You know, we look back and, you know, my kids will tell me something. I'm thinking to myself, if they only knew how foolish they sounded. And then it dawns on me, I did the same thing. Boy, oh boy, the trouble that I got into. I thought everything would be fine, but boy, oh boy, I gained some things that day. We don't go into detail, but I gained some things that day. You know, it's sad that we as Christians, we think that we can stray away from God. We can do what we want to do. Maybe we had that little sin in our life, whatever it may be. We think, it'll be okay. It won't hurt anybody. It won't hurt me. Sin has a way of making you gain some things. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 20, and verse number 17, it says, the bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Remember always hearing that verse. Every time after something like that happened with the BB gun. The bread of deceit is sweet to a man. There's always an afterwards. There's always things that you will gain that you wish you never would have gained. The Bible says here he gained friends. Bad ones, that is. We were talking about Brother Larry Brown, one of the famous messages I heard him preach. I always remember. But he had a friend. I could never say it like he did, but I sure love that message. I heard it many, many times. But he had a friend. Now, oftentimes I say, well, that's for young people. You know, we sometimes have the wrong type of friends ourselves. I've had people come up to me before and say, you know what, it's just sad. I don't understand. It seems like my best friends are the people in the world. Shame on you. I'm so thankful that we have a church and where you can get with people that you know and you can befriend them and fellowship with them. I hope we see that as being important. Not only that, the Bible says he gained famine. It's interesting. I've learned in my short life, you cannot live successfully without God. Got to have him. Been times in my life and I thought to myself and I scratched my head and I said, how in the world, Brother Nate, did you get yourself in this kind of trouble? And then it dawned on me, it's because I didn't have God in my life. I had backslidden. I had got away from God. I thought I knew the answers. I thought I knew what was right. but it was God. God is the one that's going to help us live successfully in this life. You cannot be satisfied without the Lord. I found it interesting. When I graduated from college, I had the opportunity to go down to Beeville, Texas. Worked down there for my father-in-law and had to get a job. And I could work maintenance, so I worked at a nursing home for a few years. And I got to know some of the people there in the nursing home and got to talk to them. And you know what I found out the happiest people in the world were in that nursing home? Were people that served God with their lives. And the most miserable people were not the people that were unsaved. They were the Christians that were backslidden from God. You know what? You're going to gain family. You're going to gain the wrong type of friends. Then you're going to gain feeding the swine. I was in college, had an opportunity to work maintenance, and every year they had a pig roast, hog roast, or whatever you want to call it. It was something I did not look forward to every year. I had to go out there and I had to slaughter 13 hogs. Had to grab them from the barn, put them in a horse trailer, bring them up there to the shop, and we won't go into details after that. One day I went out there, I went to grab the trailer, and the tires were flat. And there was a guy with me, and I said, you know what, I got a better idea. Here's what we'll do. So what we'll do is we'll take some ropes, we'll rope the pigs, we'll tie them to the back of the bumper, and we'll drag them back to the shop. Foolish, yes, foolish. We'll talk about foolish just in a second. Still remember that. So he remember we walked out there, and I said, tell you what I'll do. I'll chase this one through, and you don't have to be a cowboy or anything. Just when it comes to this opening, just rope it. Everything will be fine. So sure enough, I chased one out the door, and he got his rope around that thing's neck. I didn't know they're that strong. Out the door he went, dragged him right down the pasture. I said, hold on as best you can. I'll bring the truck over there. And sure enough, we were able to rope and to tie that pig on the back of that truck. I said, let's go get a couple more. Same thing over and over again. And I found it interesting that when I tried to drag those things back, they wouldn't go anywhere. In fact, they would literally rather just lay there and die than let me pull them where they needed to go. I still remember the guy coming out there, the guy I worked for, boy, oh boy, was he hot. He was upset. Pigs are laying on the ground gasping for air. I'm walking around with my round. Oh, yeah. Feeding the swine. He gained filling his belly. The Bible says he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. Look how sin had left him. Look how his decision had left him. It ruined him. He had so much before this, he lost it all. The Bible says he was left to feeding the swine. It's interesting how the world, the sin, Satan, would tell you, you know what, hey, if you go out there and you enjoy the things of the world, if you go out there and enjoy that little pet sin, whatever it may be, everything will be fine. But it's always interesting that when you get involved in those things, it always leaves you empty. It always leaves you in the pig pen. We see here that he regretted what he had gained. Not only that, but we see here he was relieved that he could return. I love this verse. I've had people before, and I've asked them, I said, you know, has there ever been a time where you've caught yourself or found yourself in the wrong place? And I've actually had people tell me before, nah, I've always been right with God. No, there's been time, we've all been there. The Bible says here, and when he came to himself, he was so relieved that he could return. Let me say this, praise the Lord, we can return as well. You may be here tonight and there might be something in your life that shouldn't be there. Guess what? You can get rid of it tonight. You may be out there tonight and I don't know everybody here. Your focus may be on the things of this world. Your focus may be more so on your job and money in the bank and the extra car in the garage instead of on the things of God. Guess what? You can change those things tonight. You can return to yourself. Praise the Lord, we can come back to ourselves. But it's interesting, there was something he had to do before he could. First of all, he had to realize that he had to see himself for who he really was. I was talking to Brother Angel this morning, or this afternoon, and I told him I got to go to Bible college, and when I got out of Bible college, I actually learned what the ministry is all about. And Bible college is important. I got there in the ministry, and the first week, I had a bus route, and we had somebody that was late to the bus. And so I told him, I just left without him. And afterwards, he came up, he was upset, the pastor brought us all together, and I said, well, he was late. And in Bible college, if you're late, you lose your ministry. In Bible college, guess what, man? You should be happy. I'd be yelling and screaming down his throat. I still remember my father-in-law had some famous words. He said, well, this ain't Bible college anymore. And you don't have any bus workers anymore either. And I remember coming out of college and thinking, well, I knew this and I knew that. And it didn't take long before I realized I didn't know anything. Didn't know a thing. In fact, I walked around thinking, oh boy, I'm in major trouble. I don't know what to do. It's sad sometimes that we as Christians, you know, we walk around and we carry our King James Bible, and I hope you do. We walk around and we dress right and we talk right and we look right and we act right and we make sure our outside looks right. We're not right with God. Nothing's right. Sit in the pews, we hear the preaching of God's Word, it goes in one ear and goes out the other. Call the individual, one time there was three guys that were out hunting. There was a preacher, there was a doctor, and a lawyer. Of course, those are always the three same guys that are always in any type of story. They were out hunting deer one day. Sure enough, they were standing there, they were walking down, and all of a sudden the deer came up out off the hill there, and they all shot, and the deer dropped. And they walked over there, and they looked at that deer, and the doctor says, well, I believe I shot that deer. And the preacher said, no, you didn't shoot that deer. And the lawyer said, nope, I shot the deer. And they started arguing. They went back and forth arguing. I shot it. No, I shot it. They went back and forth, and finally someone heard the commotion. And he called the DNR office. And the DNR office went out there, he went out there and checked the deer, and he said, you know what, I know who shot this deer. And the doctor and the lawyer and the preacher said, you know who shot that deer? He said, yeah, I know who shot that deer. He said, the preacher shot it. And they said, how in the world did you know that preacher shot the deer? He said, because the bullet went in one ear and out the other. It's sad sometimes that we as Christians, we walk around, we look right, we talk right, we dress right, we come to the pulpit, you know what, or we come to the church service and we never get anything. Because we're not right with God. We need to come to self. We need to realize who we really are. You may be here tonight. A lot of people here, I don't know. You may have come to the service, you might have been here for years. Do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ died for you. I remember as a young boy and old-fashioned day, I was talking to somebody about old-fashioned day. It got a little crazy at times. I look forward to old-fashioned day every year. In fact, that's one of the first things I'm going to implement when I get to Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. I got saved from an old-fashioned day. Sitting in the front row there and sitting there with my bandana on, my cap guns, watching my dad drive around in a little bicycle built for two. Horses coming in the auditorium, so on and so forth. Got a little crazy. I went to church for 10 years of my life. I heard the preaching of God's Word. I heard the teachers in my classes talk about how Jesus Christ died for my sins. I even got baptized at the age of 3 because everybody else did. Came a point in my life where I had to come to myself. I had to realize that I was a sinner. I was doomed to spend eternity in a lake of fire. And if you're here tonight and do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, let me say something. Jesus Christ, He died for you. You can spend eternity with Him. But you got to realize who you are. The Bible says here He saw Himself for what He was. Not only that, but He saw Himself for what He had done. He had left the fold of protection. He had left the fold of fellowship. He had left the fold of communion with His Father. There may be some people here tonight. You've left those things. you remember when things were great. Remember when you had that joy in your heart. You remember when you came into that auditorium, you sat down there in the pew, you heard the preaching of God's Word, and then God spoke to your heart. And you walked out there and you said, you know what, there's some things I need to change. There's some things I need to make right with God, but bless God, I'm going to do it. I want to serve God. You may be here tonight and you've lost some of those things. He saw himself for what he had done, but he saw himself for what he could be. The Bible says here in verse number 19, it says, "And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." The Bible says, "And he arose and he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found, and he began to be merry." He saw himself for what he could be. And you may be here tonight, and there's been years maybe at some point in time, maybe months, maybe weeks, you've never seen a soul saved. It might have been a great period of time since the Lord has worked in your heart and in your life and stirred your heart and said, you know what, I need to be a better Christian for the Lord Jesus Christ. The great thing is you can come to yourself tonight. In order to do so, the Bible said he had to arise. He had to go. And he had to say, I'm so thankful for the Word of God. I'm so thankful that we as Christians can come to the point in our life and say, you know what, things are just not right, but I can change them. I can make things right with God tonight. The Bible says again in verse number 17, and when he came to himself. You may need to be there. You might be here tonight like that. You may need to make that decision. You know what? I'm going to come to myself. I'm going to make things right. I'm going to serve God like God wants me to serve. That's what you need to do tonight. Come to yourself. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this evening you've given us. We're thankful for your blessings. Lord, we're thankful for your Word. We're so thankful that we as Christians, we might not be right with God like we should, but we can come to ourselves. We can make things right, so that we can be the servants that you desire of us to be. Lord, there may be someone here tonight that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, help them to realize their need. Help them to realize that without you, they're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire. Lord, I pray you just bless, work in the invitation, and we'll thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. There's a couple things we can do tonight. We can stand here tonight and we've heard the preaching of God's Word and we can say to ourselves, you know what? I just like it where I'm at now. You can make the decision to say, you know what? I'm happy with where I am and that's where I'm going to stay. Or you can come to yourself and make things right with God. I love the altar. It's a great place to come. I think oftentimes we don't use it like we should. An opportunity that we as a Christian can come to this altar and make some decisions that we're going to get right with God and we can serve Him like we should. As the piano plays, the Lord has spoken to your heart. Don't make this one of those, man, I'm just going to stay here. I'm not going to make that decision tonight. Decide tonight, you know what, I'm going to be right with God. I'm going to serve God. There's much that God wants me to do for Him. But you got to come to yourself. As the Lord works, you come.
Heads are bowed, eyes are